Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The Beatles, of course, are much more than a band. They brought with them ideas about sex, religion, drugs, as well as rock and roll. They were experimenters and innovators who have influenced all music after them in virtually every genre. John Schaefer, host of WNYC's Soundcheck, says way beyond screaming fans, what the Beatles set in motion in the 1960s immediately ignited the musical world.
The thing that has struck me is how much the classical music folks took to the Beatles very quickly and continue to do so all these years later. Stokowski was a fan. Leonard Bernstein was a fan. They heard something in the Beatles early on that maybe a lot of other people weren't hearing.
Who has been influenced by the Beatles? Who's doing the Beatles thing today?
In a sense, everybody. I mean, but if you want to be specific, if you're looking for the big kind of iconic rock band right now, I would point to Radiohead, whose sonic proclivities are very similar to the late Beatles.
You know, and this is late Radiohead, 2011, right. Lotus Flower from King of Limbs. They don't necessarily sound like the Beatles, but they have as distinctive a sound.
Exactly. And if you listen to this song, if you try and examine it, it's like, what are those instruments? What are they playing? Many Beatles fans in the later years would have had the same reaction to some of the Beatles' later songs.
No, and the arrangements and orchestrations of the Beatles were indecipherable sometimes.
Yeah.
It was like the whole band was an instrument.
Right.
The big distinctive quality of the Beatles that I think heralded their arrival on the Ed Sullivan Show and afterwards was the vocals.
Those harmony-driven pop bands are sprouting up again all over the place, especially in places like Brooklyn and Silver Lake. You know, hipster culture has really glommed onto the Beatles harmony thing in a big way in recent years. There's a band I really love called Quilt. And their brand new album called Held in Splendor has a song called Arctic Shark, which to me has echoes of that kind of harmony. But here, too, you have a band with a very keen awareness of some of the avant-garde music that was being made in the 1960s.
Morning, how frozen, thick and thawing, turn to brine. Salty workings in a restless process of mind.
That sounds very Beatles-like.
That,
I mean, that sounds like a cover.
Yeah. Now, the sitar-y guitars and the lush harmonies in the back of the primary vocal. Yeah. They name-check Beatles, but they also will name-check avant-garde artists like Terry Riley and Lamont Young, the founders of minimalism. Remember, the Beatles had Karlheinz Stockhausen on the cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Yeah, it's sort of everyone in the universe was on the cover of the Sgt. Pepper album, that's for sure.
Right.
What do you think was the nature of the Beatles' experimentation? Was it the same as the Buddy Holly impulse to experiment, or was it something fundamentally different, much more diverse?
It was more diverse, and it was in large measure driven at times, not by the Beatles themselves, but by the fact that they were thrown into a studio with people like George Martin, who was a classical musician, a keyboard player, and had a keen ear of orchestration. And once the Beatles had access to that palette of sounds, the sheer invention, not just in the songwriting, but the way they got those sounds on those records using the technology they had is absolutely unparalleled.
A Martin-esque example of that kind of orchestration and experiment?
A.C. Newman, better known as Carl Newman from the band The New Pornographers. But I want to play for you a song, a deep track from one of Carl's solo records called The Slow Wonder. This, to me, is the modern version of the George Martin orchestration.
What is that, like six stand-up basses there in the back of the studio?
Cellos and horns, and there's a harp on this record and trumpets, and it's all there. You know, this very orchestral palette, again, put to use in what is clearly a pop sensibility.
You know, for all the talk about how John Lennon and Paul McCartney didn't get along, their collaboration, of course, is one of the most famous in pop music, in music history. And bands to this day, I think, have a sense of collaborative spirit, of multi-authorship that really, I think, begins with the Beatles.
Yeah, and it's funny because today the idea of the auteur, the singer-songwriter in his or her bedroom doing it all by themselves, is very much what people think of when they think of, say, indie rock. But we are beginning to see examples of two or more musicians who are really interested in that collaborative process. And possibly the biggest example on the scene right now is the duo known as Broken Bells.
I've been all around the world, but I got nowhere to go. I keep into this lonely life, and you can't change me now, so leave it alone.
This is James Mercer, who's the front man of the very well-known indie rock band The Shins, and Brian Burton, who is Danger Mouse, the guy who produced the Gnarls Barkley song, and of course, the Grey Album, his illegal mashup of the Beatles' White Album and Jay-Z's Black Album. The two of them co-write the songs as Broken Bells. Sometimes, they claim, when they are in the same room and writing, it'll be all four hands on a single keyboard. Mostly, though, these days, it's done by file sharing. But the outcome is the same. It's genuine co-authorship.
Think about how file sharing might have increased the longevity of the Lennon-McCartney relationship. Your last example here is a band I'm not familiar with, but tell me what this one's about here.
The Milk Carton Kids, nobody's going to mistake this band for the Beatles or perhaps even for some species of pop. They sound like what they are, a folk duo. However, they share a couple of things with the Beatles. There's the dual composer thing. But the main thing that they have is this harmony-driven songwriting. Doesn't sound like the Beatles. It sounds like the Everly Brothers, who, of course, were the formative influence on the young Beatles.
Oh, snake eyes, you had better disguise all that appears of thee. Pray.
Places I remember.
Exactly.
You know, isn't it bring that back? Yeah.
There are a couple of old Beatles tunes that are not so far removed from the sound of the Milk Carton Kids and that song called Snake Eyes.
And of course, we've just scratched the surface in our few moments together.
There's so much more.
Happy Beatles USA British Invasion 50-year anniversary, huh?
Happy anniversary.
John Schaefer, host of Soundcheck on our partner station, WNYC. Thanks so much.
Thank you.